your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 1 this morning. We're going to start reading in Exodus chapter 1, verse 22, and we're going to read through chapter 2, verse 10. I'll read aloud as you read along silently. So as you're finding your place in Exodus chapter 1, beginning at verse 22, and we'll read through chapter 2, verse 10. Please stand to your feet as you're finding your place this morning in the book of Exodus. If you're unable to stand, that's fine. Please be seated. That is no problem. We understand that. But in honor of the Word of God, we stand as we read. Exodus chapter 1, beginning at verse 22. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, "Every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." And there went out a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not hide him longer, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this account. Thank you for the Word of God. And I pray this morning we would hear what the Word of God says and how we need to apply it to all of our lives this morning. God, use the Word of God to help us today. Father, for this to be accomplished, we pray that you would anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit. Use him today to help us. And Father, as I ask almost every week, if there's somebody that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, whether in this room or on the internet this morning, I pray they'd settle it this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, I ask that you make sure your cell phone is turned off or to vibrate or in some way that it won't go off during the service. Also ask that you sit still and listen now. On Mother's Day, we always bring a particular challenge to moms and encourage our moms with some thoughts from some things of Scripture. A lot of good mothers in the Bible. This lady here in Exodus chapter 1, her name is Jochebed. Her name is not mentioned here. It will be in Numbers chapter 26. She will be the mother of Moses. The Israelites have been slaves in Egypt for hundreds of years. And their master, Pharaoh, wanted to wipe out the human race, that entire race of Jews. He tried a few things to manipulate, didn't work. So then he passes a law. And the law is this: every male child born to a Jewish family was to be taken to the Nile River and thrown to the crocodiles and be eaten. Horrible king, horrible law. Jochebed has two children, Miriam and Moses. She gives birth to Miriam and Aaron, excuse me. She gives birth to her third child, a boy. She knows what the law states. Now listen, listen. To defy the king is to be killed. This is not like throwing lawyers at people, okay? You defy Pharaoh, you'll be put to death. But she has a problem. She wants this son. The law that Pharaoh passed was to eliminate the future heritage and lineage of the Jewish people. And thereby, they would just basically either all die off or disappear because they had no male children to pass the seed along. But she has this son, and she can't bring herself to go to the river and throw the baby to the crocodiles. She comes up with an unusual plan. She makes an ark, the Bible says. And it's interesting that it calls it an ark. We'll come back to that later. She seals it with pitch and with slime to make it waterproof. She prepares this basket and takes it down to the river and sets the basket in the bulrushes along the Nile River. She's not feeding her baby to the crocodiles. The older sister Miriam walks along the riverbank to watch what's going to happen. Pharaoh's daughter comes down and decides it's her bathing time, and she sees the basket and they open it and the baby cries and her heart of compassion goes out to this child. And Miriam steps up and says, "Would you like me to get someone to take care of that baby for you?" She says, "Yes, and I'll pay her to do it." She goes and gets Jochebed, the baby's mother. She raises him and then takes him back because she's required to do so, takes him back, gives him back to Pharaoh's daughter. Now listen very carefully. The law to wipe out the race of the Jews by a wicked king, that law would be defied by the mother, and that baby she spared would deliver that nation from Egypt. She didn't know that. She was just trying to do something in her stead. She's an interesting mother, Jochebed. I've used her as an example in years past in messages, but today I want to talk to you about what really does make for a great mother. Please notice something. She's not a perfect mom. You say, "I would have never done that. I would have never taken him down to a river like that, put him in a basket, watertight, and placed him in there." Well, if he was 13, you would have, but that's a whole other subject. And probably wouldn't have made it watertight, and sealed it so he couldn't get out of there. But the truth of the matter is, it's an unusual step she's taking here. We'll come back to why she did it in a moment. She's not just doing something. This is a step of faith in her life. Moms, none of us will get a perfect mom. We didn't have one. I didn't get one. You didn't get one. None of you moms will be perfect mothers. So when we talk about what makes for a great mother, we like to show you the steps of perfection in motherhood. But there are none, because there are no perfect moms. But great mothers, oh yes. Someone has said that fathers preserve the current generation, mothers prepare the next generation. And the truth of the matter is, dear people, what this lady does in sparing Moses, she does not knowing she's actually sparing her people in the process. What does she do that makes her such a great mother? Well, first of all, she defied a wicked day. The law requires the death of this child. And not just that the child has to die, it has to be a horrible death. Crocodiles, we were in Egypt a few years back. There are no crocodiles in the Nile River anymore, but they used to be very prolific. And there was a part of the worship of the Egyptians where they would throw their children in places and times of worship, throw their children to the crocodiles. So the idea of them having to do this, and by the way, please listen, Pharaoh didn't just say all the Hebrew boys have to be done there. He said every male child in this land. He condemned his own people's babies to death. This is a wicked day. A wicked man who had no concern for innocent life. passes a law. It's a law. When Pharaoh says it will be, it's a law. So it's a wicked day with a wicked ruler who passes a wicked law to provide, to make sure that innocent life is taken. What a horrible time to live on this earth when innocent life is taken and sanctioned by the laws of the land. So I think I know where you're going with that, Pastor Johnson. You do you? You do understand, ladies and gentlemen. I don't care what your political position is. This nation, America's hands are dripping in the blood of innocent children who've been taken from their mother's womb and killed and sanctioned and paid for. That's a wicked day. When innocent life, let me just get a little bit further because some of you are looking at me funny. This whole thing about people walking into schools and shooting people and folks shooting folks on the streets and innocent life being taken on the street, it all started back when we devalued life in the womb. And if an innocent child's life in a mother's womb is not sacred and sanctified, then somebody's walking the streets life doesn't matter either. Put that with evolution and you got a nice package, ladies and gentlemen. We're nothing but animals, and we do not sanction life, innocent life. Now we got problems. This lady lived in a wicked day. What does she do? She defies a wicked day. She's going to risk her life, and if they find this baby, he'll be killed too. We live today. Mom, now listen to me carefully. Please, I don't want to put any greater burden on moms than is already on them. God bless you mothers who think you have to fix everything and everybody and everyone in every way under every circumstance and every condition. Bless your heart, you can't go to Walmart without trying to fix something. Huh? Everything. Oh, you see someone walking down the street. Well, you got to help that guy. God bless you mothers. I appreciate you. If this world was just all men, nobody would get help from anybody about anything in any way. Would you give me a witness on that one this morning? Okay, that's fine. But if you take the two and you balance them out, you got a normal society. Because otherwise, you'd have moms out there trying to fix everything. So, Mom, you don't have to fix everything. But, Mom, listen to this preacher this morning. It is time for mothers to defy a day where innocence is not considered important and laws and things are passed where people's lives don't seem to matter anymore. Now, I'm not talking about going to Congress. I'm not talking about writing your congressman. I'm not talking about getting involved in those things. I am talking about mothers who've decided, I don't care what this world does, and I don't care what the world says, and I don't care how the world acts, and I don't care where the world goes and what the world tells us we're supposed to do. We are not going to do that. As you know my testimony, for a period of time, I grew up in a drunkard's home. My parents had divorced, and my mother turned to drink and became a drunkard, and my mother married a man who was a drunk and a bartender. One of those big he-men going around beating on women and children. To this day, look at me, to this day I cannot stand the concept of a man who will hurt women and children. I cannot get a hold of that one. I just can't. I don't understand it. By the way, a man wouldn't do that. A lady called one day here at the office, this is some years ago, and they were attending our church, and she said this. She said, my husband slapped me. She said, Pastor, he's yelling at me. I don't know what to do. I said, where are you? She told me. I said, stay right there and tell him to wait. I'll be there in a minute. I drove over there and I pulled up to the house and he came out. He goes, I know, Pastor, what I did. And you're probably going to want to sign me up for counseling. I said, nope, I'm going to get an ambulance over here. If you touch that woman one more time, I'm going to forget I'm a preacher and you're going to get about 260-some pounds of me right in the middle of where you live. Don't you ever put a hand on her again. I'm writing a book on my own version of counseling. Can't handle it. I can't fathom that concept. I don't get that. And my mother, if she had done right, would have taken us out of that household situation and take us on. And my mom's in heaven, and I'm not speaking disrespectfully of my mother at all this morning. I'm simply saying this, Mom, we live in a wicked day. It's a mess out there. We can't control all the society, and we can't run the government. They don't even run it. We can't do anything about that. But I tell you what we can do, Mom. You can defy the wicked day under the roof of your house. We can make some decisions about what needs to be done and what ought to be in life. She defied a wicked day. She's risking her life and the life of this baby and her family. They would have killed them all. Yeah, but it was a law. It was a wicked law. Society had come to accept it, how many babies were thrown to the river, or the crocodiles in the river in that day. Well, that's point number two. She declined to compromise with others. Where are all the other moms with their baskets and their babies? You know what that means now. That means there were many Jewish mothers. Now, there's 2 or 3 million Jews in captivity. So there are many moms who have their babies and had boys. There were many a mother went down to that river, Egyptian mother, Jewish mother, took that little child, unwrapped him, and threw him to the hungry crocodiles. Why is she the only one? Because she didn't care if no one else did it, she was going to do what was right. Now, ladies and gentlemen, mom, we've got to stop the flowing down the stream with the rest of society and decide, well, that's just the way things are nowadays, and that's just the way things go nowadays, and that's just the way we're going to be nowadays. Yes, 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 and no, no, no. We do not get our principles of living and life and morality and our principles of what's good and bad and right and wrong from the world, the television set, and Hollywood. We get it from the Bible, Mom, and it's time for moms to decide, I'm not giving in on this stuff. It's not compassionate, Mom, to compromise. And sometimes it's not always Mom, and it's Dad. I want to be fair when I say this. Sometimes when they get to be teenagers, you know, when they're children, it's one thing. But now all of a sudden when they're teenagers, the Bible didn't change when they turned 13. Nothing changed when that happened. Hey? And you don't want your kids out there acting like the world, living like the world, and doing what the world does. You're going to have to decide, Mom, that you're going to have to decline the compromise of the day. You won't get a lot of pats on the back from some people. But I'll tell you something, Mom. I'll prophesy to you this morning. You hold the line, that kid's going to come back one day and hug your neck and tell you they love you for the fact you did right. She's a great mother because she declared her faith. You say, she put that baby in a basket and put him in a river. No, no, she put him in an ark. Let me think, ark. That's somewhere else in the Bible, right? Ark, right? Yeah, ark. Well, they don't have the Ark of the Covenant yet. That's down the road yet. So there's only one other ark before this one. That would be like Noah's ark. Oh, and hey, Noah's ark was prepared by God's direction to do what? To preserve a handful of people. There were room for more than that. To preserve a handful of people from the coming destruction. She isn't just, well, let's put them in a basket and see what happens. Here's what she's saying. You know, the principle God showed us with this ark was those inside the ark were preserved from the danger outside of the ark. And so I'm going to trust that the Lord is going to honor my faith. And I'm going to pitch this thing and I'm going to daub it and I'm going to make sure it's waterproof. And I'm going to take my child and I'm going to trust that God is going to preserve my child. She had no idea Pharaoh's daughter would come at that moment. She had no idea that baby would cry when the basket was opened. She had no idea that she would have compassion and take that child. She had no idea that child would be given back to her. She'd be paid to raise her own child. She's declaring her faith. See, the truth of the matter is, Mom, we need you to declare your faith, what you believe and why. There's something about fathers, and especially their sons. I don't know what it is. You dads maybe understand what I'm talking about. We have two sons. There's something about the concept of their hearing. Like it goes in that ear and comes out that one. And I told my boys the reason for that is because there's nothing in between to stop it. It just goes, whoo! I could put a light up to your ear and shine and play rabbits on the wall over there because that thing go right through your head, son. Ain't a thing in there. If you die, donate your brain to science. It ain't never been used. That's right through there. There's something about fathers talking to their sons, but there's something about mothers talking to their children. There's something powerful about that. Hey? I'm not asking you to be an evangelist and go around the country and preach. We won't go into why not in a minute. But the truth of the matter is, Mom, she's declaring her faith with that ark of bulrushes. She's saying, I'm trusting God to preserve the life of my child. there's a disconnect between the faith of generations today. We have kids growing up, even in Christian homes, who don't know enough Bible to blow the fuzz off a peanut. What is that? I don't get the concept. You know what's happened? Our generation has grown up with the belief that you take your kid to a school, you drop them off, and they educate them. All you're doing with those children is taking them to a place where their education can be refined and improved. Their real education is what goes on before school and after school when they come to your house. We decry the failure of our educational system, and the public school system is a failure. There's no question about it. And just in the matters of education, not in all the other junk that goes on. But you know the truth, that's why we have a Christian school. Believe in Christian education, Bible principles taught. But don't bring your kid to Shasta Baptist School and expect us to teach them everything. That's not how it works. Your job and my job with children is to instruct them. Deuteronomy tells us we're supposed to talk about it when we walk in the way, when we sit in our houses. Oh, you mean nag the fire at them? No, but teach them what the Bible says. They're going to get stuff from the television and Hollywood and this world today. Poor kid can't go to the grocery store and buy a loaf of bread without the world trying to tell them what to believe and how to believe things. But I'm telling you something, there's something powerful about a mom who takes that child and takes that child to her bosom and spends time and instructs them in the things of God. There's something very powerful about that mom. And you know something? She's declaring her faith. Because guess what? After she gets this baby back, she doesn't even get to name him. She called him Moses. That was Pharaoh's daughter. That name Masha comes from a Hebrew, not from a Hebrew word, but it comes from the idea of drawing him out of the water. Pharaoh's daughter named him. But Moses' mother had him until it was time to give him back. And that young man grew up knowing he was a Hebrew. He grew up knowing who he was, what he was, what he believed, and why. And even when she had to give him back to that system in Egypt, that boy was trained well enough to know what was going on. Ladies and gentlemen, the Lord Jesus Christ comes into this world to pay for our sins and be our Savior. And who does God send him to? A family. He sends him to a mom and a dad, a stepdad, by the way, a half-father, whatever you want to call him. Jesus' father was not Joseph. But Mary was his mother, and she taught him, and they taught him enough Bible where he could sit at 12 and marvel scribes, scholars, and experts in the Bible. He marveled them with the questions he asked and answered. She declared her faith. The basket, the ark, is a declaration of her faith. By the way, that ark, that basket, is a picture of salvation, just like the ark that Noah built. Picture of how God designed the ark and God prepared everything and God put it all together and they built it. It had three stories, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And they had to come into the ark and God sealed them in it. All a picture of the shittim wood that was made, the ark was made from, was all the humanity of Christ with the deity on the inside and how they had to come in. And that's what salvation is. God sent his son to die for us so we come to Christ and trust him for that salvation. That's how you get saved. Wasn't the water on the outside, friend. It was deliverance on the inside that saved them. She's declaring so much with this ark of bulrushes. She's declaring her faith. Your kids know what you believe, Mom, and why. And then she had a son that she dedicated. She said she gave him back to Egypt. She gave him back to fulfill what was required of her, but she didn't give him to Egypt. She was giving back the leader. She doesn't even know that he's Moses, the greatest, Israel's greatest leader up to this day is still considered Moses. But she had him dedicated and committed to what she believed and why. And when the day came for him to step up, this guy's going to deliver his people from the greatest empire of the day. Don't tell me one kid can't make a difference. Excuse me. Don't tell me that. Well, after all, you know, no. Don't tell me that. This is one boy who is going to be raised, taught right. And then when his day comes, he steps up, steps out, and delivers his own people. No, we're not, our hope and goal for our children, we don't know what God has for them. We don't. Our goal as parents should be this, to do the will of God for your life. That's the goal. That was what we would hope for them. Hopefully we're showing that to them by how we do God's will for our life. Yes? This dedicated son becomes Israel's deliverer. And God breaks a mighty empire to deliver 3 million Jew slaves and take them out to the wilderness, onto the promised land. Does she know when she puts this boy in an ark of bulrushes that his name will be mentioned for thousands of years because of what? Nope. She's, look at me. She's just doing her job as a mom. Now see, in society today, that's discounted. You know, the Hillary Oprah principle. If you're not running for president or you're some kind of a CEO of a company, there's something wrong with you, ladies. No, how about just doing the job as a mom? How about that? That's something. See, you say, well, what about the men? Bring them back on Father's Day. I'll skin his hide too. Okay, it's not a problem. But the point is, since it's Mother's Day, I'm just trying to say, moms, look at me. You're a powerful force in this world today. Don't ever let somebody discount to you what you are and what you do when you try to do your best to be the mother that you're supposed to be and fulfill the role that God has for you. God, not the world. God, not society. God, not Hollywood. What the Bible says a mother ought to be to fulfill that. That's a powerful thing. Maybe it'll be your child that will help turn this nation back to God. Maybe it'll be your child that God will use to do something mighty and great that'll make a difference in this world like Moses did. Don't know that. All we know is this. This lady decided, I don't care what society says, I'm going to do my job and I'm going to mother this child and do my very best at what I do. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.